Would you help me welcome all the other campuses that are joining with us today? To all of you who are joining us, we welcome you today. My name is Eddie Couples. I'm the lead pastor for Love and Truth Ministries, and I get the opportunity each week to preach not only in North Campus, but in Tennessee and Illinois, Ohio, different places, and I'm glad you're there today. We're excited about what God is doing and what He is going to continue to do. Let's make our confession together, and we've been doing this for quite a while now this year. Get your Bible or whatever you've downloaded the Word of God on, and let's say this together. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. Today I will be taught the Word of God. I boldly confess my mind is alert, my heart is receptive, I will never be the same. I am about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. I will never be the same, never, never, never. I will never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. I believe that with all of my heart today, that the Word of God changes us and transforms us. Now, last week, we began a series called Generous. I was driving through Memphis several months ago now, several months ago, and I saw a sign that just said Generous, and it was almost, you ever have those moments that something just reaches out and grabs you, right? And it was like in that moment, all that I could see was the US, the U.S. on the end of Generous. It was like I just really felt like God was saying, look, the whole aspect of generosity is about us. It's about who we are, how we respond, and how we live our lives, especially as believers, especially as Christians, day in and day out. And so the book of 2 Corinthians, the 9th chapter, is our foundation scripture. And beginning in verse number 9 says, as it is written, they have freely scattered their gifts to the poor. In other words, they've been generous, and their righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies, God, supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion, and through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. Now, what that passage is saying, what the Apostle Paul is saying to us is, look, God has called us to be generous. The whole aspect of Christianity is living a generous life, living a giving life, and as we do that, then God says, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to supply what you have need of, and the reason I'm going to do that is so that you can even be more generous than you were, and so that my name can be glorified and that I can receive the glory. In fact, the Bible says it this way. The scripture goes on to say that we're to do good works so that men will see our good works and they'll glorify our Father who is in heaven, right? Now, the setting of scripture I want to turn our attention to for the lesson today is in the book of Matthew, the 6th chapter. And it's probably familiar to a lot of you, but let's read it again. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19, 20, and 21. Here's what it says. Do not store up for yourselves treasure on earth where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in where? Heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Now, when we look at this aspect, what we actually are seeing here, here's what the Lord is actually saying to us. He is saying to us, stop treasuring the world's treasures. Rather, treasure the treasures in heaven. Now, here's what I'm going to talk about to you today. I want to talk about which bank, all right? Now, if I were to come to you and I would say, hey, which bank do you do banking at? Some of you go, well, I do it, you know, at Regions, or I do it at you know, Bancorp South, or I do it at Farmers and Merchants, or I do it wherever you do banking. Well, I want to kind of transition that for a minute from you, and I kind of want us to look at a couple of different banks that we don't look at a lot, and we sure don't spend a lot of time on. Here's what I found about most of us. Remember I said that the whole aspect here is the Word of God says stop treasuring what the world treasures and start treasuring what heaven's treasure. Now, here's what I want to say to you, and I don't want to make you mad at the very beginning of the sermon, but here's what I found, especially in Western world, is that we spend a lot more time on the treasures of this earth than on the treasures of heaven. And that would have been a really great moment to say amen. In all of our lives, we find that. And so what I want to look at today, I want to look at two banks, and I want to look at the earthly bank, and then I want to look at the heavenly bank, okay? The earthly bank, there are some things about it according to Scripture. First of all, the aspect of the earthly bank is that the substance is of this earth. Everything that's in it, the gold, the silver, you say, no, I don't have any gold or silver. I got platinum. Well, it came out of the earth. Well, I got, $100 bills. Well, it came out of the earth. Everything that's in the bank on this earth is of this earth. Money, art, gold, jewelry, whatever it is that you have stored in the bank is of this earthly realm. And what we know is, the second aspect that we know is that the Scripture says that there is the corruption of this system. All right, this system is corrupt. In fact, the Bible says it this way. It says that the earth is cursed. How many of you found out that stuff just rusts? You don't have to make it rust. It just rusts and wears out, right? It's not like you go out in the morning and say, I hope that thing will just rust. How many of you found out that it's kind of like weeds? How many of you know you'll spend, all year long trying to get your yard looking right, and you'll spend all kind of hours out there, and the weeds will just grow of their own, don't they? Because we live in a corrupted system. And how many of you found out that those things that you bought and you paid all that money for, they depreciate? Right? You don't believe it? Go buy that car. Drive it off the lot and come back and try to sell it for what you just paid it for. Right? It depreciates. It tears up. It falls apart. And a lot of us kind of get into this hoarding thing, I'm going to get in trouble. Right? It's like you can't walk through the house because we got more. And in fact, we got so much stuff, we're renting space to put stuff. I don't want to get in your business too much, right? You've been paying $75 a month for 5 years stuff you hadn't looked at. Might tell you something, I'll move on, but third aspect of the earthly bank is the insecurity of the earthly bank. The Bible says thieves break in and steal, or it gets lost, or it gets left. It gets, and here's the deal. Every one of us is going to leave it at some point, right? And so in our life, we have a tendency to set our affection on all that stuff. And yet, there's another banking system that I'd like for you to turn your attention to today, and that's the heavenly bank that I believe that the Word of God tells us that we need to be searching after. And you say, well, what is the heavenly bank? Where is the heavenly bank at? Can I go and make a deposit? Well, here's where the heavenly bank is. It's wherever God's presence is manifest, all right? The Bible says that when we get saved, His Spirit, His presence, comes and sets up His kingdom inside of us. So wherever we go, His presence is, and that means that His kingdom is inside of each and every one of us. And so our possessions are in Him. And here's what I found out about God. You can trust Him. Amen? How many of you found that to be true? You may not can trust. I'm going to get in trouble. How many of you found out that even some of your closest friends and relatives will let you down? Now, don't start shouting or anything. Yeah, right? We know that happens. And yet, the Word of God lets us know that God can be trusted. Now, the Bible says it this way. The Bible says, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all of these things, all this stuff, all this earthly system will be added unto you. And so the aspect of the heavenly kingdom is that we have to transfer the earthly into the heavenly. We have to be willing to say, God, I'm going to seek first Your kingdom, Your righteousness, and I'm going to believe and I'm going to trust in You because I know that You are trustworthy. And lastly, if you remember, in the earthly kingdom, there's total insecurity. Well, guess what? In the heavenly kingdom, there's total security. No thief can break in and steal your spiritual possessions. What you place in the heavenlies, according to Scripture, cannot be taken from you. Now, let me say this to you, because I get people who misunderstand what I'm talking about sometimes. And they say, well, pastor said we shouldn't care about tomorrow. We shouldn't worry about this, that, or that. No. Let me say this to you. Making proper provision for the future is not condemned in Scripture. All right? I mean, God tells us. In fact, the Word of God says that it's God who set up the process of seed, time, and harvest. All right? So God wants you to take care of tomorrow. Here's what God does not want you to do. Everybody ready? God does not want you to trust in what you can do. He wants you to trust in what He can do. And so when you get that understanding, then you can begin to live a life really that's much freer, and you really don't carry the stress that goes on in a lot of people's lives. How many of you found out that the more stuff you get, the more stuff you have to take care of? Right? When you didn't have anything, come on, how many of you remember when you first got married? Right? I drove an old beat-up Volkswagen Bug, and I'm not talking about those nice new little ones. I'm talking about the old school one, right? You know, I could put 50s, I could literally go with two rolls of pennies. Why y'all looking at me like that? That's all I had. Hey, two rolls of penny and put gas in and drive all week long almost, right? And I'm going to tell you, I remember, I don't want to go back to those days, but I remember those. Most of us, you know, at some point face those kind of days. You may be in one of those places today. Don't lose hope. God wants to bless you. He'll bring you through that. But those are the times. Honestly, if you had run over that car, I could have cared less. It was a piece of junk anyway. Right? But the more stuff we get, boy, y'all are tight. All right, let's talk about principles of investing wisely. All right? Scripture gives them to us. Principles of investing wisely. If we're going to be generous, we have to learn how to invest. So first of all, we talked about this last week, so I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it, but God owns everything. God owns it all. It's His. You need to settle that today. God owns it all. I'm just the manager. See, here's the difference in managers and owners. Owners have rights. Managers have responsibilities. So when the owner shows up and says, I want this, as a manager, I just got to say, okay, it's yours anyway. All I've got are responsibilities in how that I live the way that God has called me to live. And so we have to settle that at the very beginning today, is that God owns it all. Secondly, and you need to get this, my heart always follows my treasure. You say, well, I don't believe that. Well, let me prove it to you. You buy a new boat, your heart's at the lake. Right? You buy a new set of golf clubs, your heart's down there swinging away and losing your religion. Somebody asked me, they said, Pastor, you want to go play golf? I said, I don't play golf. They said, why don't you play golf? I said, because it makes me want to say words I shouldn't say. That's why I don't play golf. All right? I mean, whatever it is, our heart follows our treasure. And so here's what I found out about life, and all of us are guilty of this, whether we want to admit it or not, and that is our lives orbit around ourselves. Now think about this. I'll prove it to you. You take a three-year-old and set them in a room with 1,000 toys, and they are happy as they can be, and they're playing with one thing, but you let another kid come in the room. And whatever that child goes after immediately becomes the most precious thing in the room, and that three-year-old walks over and grabs it and goes, mine! Nobody had to teach us that life orbits around ourselves. We just grew up that way. Now, here's where we've got to get if we're going to learn to live the way God wants us to. And that is, we've got to understand that giving to God's causes fills us with a sense of greater destiny. All right? When it's all about me and what I want and what I desire, then I'm going to find myself a pretty small package. I heard a guy say years ago, said a person who's all wrapped up in themselves makes a mighty small package. And that's what happens a lot of times. But as I begin to give to things that are outside of me, when I begin to bless others, when I begin to look at those who are around me who are in need, and I'm able to bless them, I'm able to help them, I'm able to do things for others who are there, then all of a sudden there's this destiny that begins to happen in my life, and I begin to live at a higher level because now God has called me to that. The next thing about that is this, is that giving jumpstarts my relationship with God. Now, that may sound a little strange to some of you. Some of you have never thought about that. But I want to tell you, if you want to get your heart set on the things of God, then start giving to the things of God. Start blessing others. Start looking for needs in those who are around you. And as you do that, you begin to find yourself falling in love with God in a way that you have not seen before. Why? Because everything in the kingdom of God revolves around giving. Boy, it gets quiet in this house. You say, I don't believe that. Well, start in Genesis. Genesis, God steps forth and creates the world. What's he doing? He's giving. All the way through the Old Testament, God's giving. Get in the New Testament. What does the scripture say? John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave. Everything about Christianity is about giving. And so when we understand that, we begin to see how God wants us to move forward in everything that he has. Number three is this: giving is the antidote to materialism. If you are, you know, if you're afraid that you're getting a little materialistic, and let me just look up here a second. You are, because you live in America. Wow. How many of you have been hearing in the last several years about all the one percenters? You've been hearing about the one percenters, how bad the one percenters are? You know, because they got one percent of the owns all the world's wealth and all this stuff. And so every political party, everybody's saying, you don't have to get politically incorrect, right? You ready? Those of you who are guests, I get one politically incorrect statement of service. So here it goes, all right? And so we're saying, well, we need to redistribute this wealth, and we need to take all these fat cats and take all their money and give it to all these people who don't have enough. And that sounds really good until I tell you, first of all, it doesn't work. Secondly, you ready? Secondly, if we're going to do that, we can't just do that in America. We have to do that in the world. So that means that those of you who are making $30,000 a year, you're going to start making $2 a day. Boy, nobody wants to shout and run around a church on that one. Because, here's the problem with that kind of thinking. We're looking to man to be our source instead of understanding that God is the source of everything that you and I need, and that he is able to provide for us no matter where we are, no matter what's going on in our lives, that God can do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think. And so this whole aspect that's come into America, and that is that we are entitled because somebody else made it and I ought to get it, I'm sick of that, and it's not a system kingdom priority. It is a system of this world priority, and it is not from God. It's from the pits of hell. I'll just tell you what I think, all right? So we've got to deal with materialism, and I believe it. Let's do this. How many of you, did I bind your spirit? How many of I like cars. Anybody else like cars? I mean, I like cars. I can remember my first car. My first car was a two-door Delta 88 Royale. It was 455 four-barrel. It would fly. It would outrun my angels. All right? I have liked cars from that day until today. I trade cars every time I get a chance. I got some good friends that are in the car dealership, and I trade with them. You never know what I'm going to show it because I like cars. I don't love cars, but I like cars. And I'll be driving down the road. Ever had this happen? You're driving down the road, and you pull up beside an 18-wheeler, and there is a trailer truck load of brand-new Mercedes. Woo! Right? Or maybe it's a bunch of Corvettes that's sitting on there. Hallelujah, glory to God, amen. right? And you look at that, man, if I could have one of those, if I had $80,000 a day, I could just walk down there, I could buy one of those. And yet, watch this, let's talk about materialism for a minute. Watch what's going to happen. A few years later, you're going to be driving down and you're going to see another 18-wheeler. And on that 18-wheeler, all those cars are going to be about this high. Am I right? That car that one day somebody was so excited to have, a few years down the road, is junk. See, let me say this to you. Visit a landfill or a junkyard. It's the final resting place for earthly things. That house you bought, you couldn't wait to get it. It was the grandest thing, and you got in it. And 5 years later, you're ripping out perfectly good cabinets. Come on. Because they're not good enough anymore. They're going to wind up at the dump. All right? Now, I'm not against all this stuff. I'm just telling you, that's the end result. And what happens to a lot of us is that we kind of have this idea that to be a blessing, to be a generous person, to be a generous Christian, that you have to be at a certain status in your lifetime. So it's kind of like, well, if I make X amount of dollars, then I can be a generous person. Wait a minute. Giving is not just for the rich, but it's a privilege for all. Every one of us, every person listening to me, everyone watching me, everybody that's going to watch this on television, God has given you the ability, no matter where you are in your life, God has given you the ability to be generous. And it's up to you whether or not you choose to do that. See, here's the deal. When I give, when you give, we are the most like God that we are any other time in our life. Why? Because God's a giver. Now, let me say this to you. Prosperity should not only raise my standard of living. We're talking about principles, all right? But also my grace of giving. All right? The first church that I pastored, I was a youth pastor, and then I went to pastor a church in Adamsville. The first church I pastored, I made $125 a week. Now, I know some of you looking at me and go, well, you're so old. That's why. I got it. Okay? But $125 a week wasn't a lot of money then either, okay? And you know what I found out is we lived. Now, we didn't have much. We didn't go, we didn't eat out. We didn't do a lot, but we made it. But God's blessed us through the years. We've seen that income grow, and we've seen a lot of good things happen. But you know what? If we're not careful, the more the income grows, the more the debt grows. And God is not looking at us and saying, hey, I want to bless you just so you can have more and more and more and more. God says, I don't mind you prospering. I don't mind you being blessed, but I'm doing that, and I want you to understand that as I bless you, don't become a sponge, become a funnel. Use what you need to. Be blessed in the way that you need to, but always make sure that you're living life at a different level. See, and you knew I was going to get here. You just wondered when. Here we go. Tithing, 10%, is God's historical method to get us on the path of giving. People get nervous when I talk about tithing. And I just want to say to you today, don't get nervous about tithing. Tithing is not about legalism. Tithing is about covenant. God has said to you, here's what I want you to do. I want you to understand that everything is mine. And here's what I want you to do. I want you to acknowledge every week that I'm number one priority in your life. So when you bring that tenth into the storehouse, what you're saying to me is, God, you're number one. That's what it means. See, here people say, well, Pastor, I just can't afford to. And you know what? I know a lot of believers that really are at that point that they just don't feel like they can afford to do it. So let's say you and I get the opportunity. Let's say we get the opportunity. We're sitting down at a meal, and you start sharing with me how much you want to tithe. You say, Pastor, I really want to be a tither. And I listen to you, and you say, well, here's my budget, and I just don't see any way I do it. And I look at you, and I say, here, let me tell you something. If you'll do this for 1 year, if you'll be a tither for 1 year, I promise you, at the end of that year, if that 10% has taken away from you what you don't need, I'll give that 10% back to you. I can almost guarantee you, without exception, if I had that conversation with you, 99.9% of you would go, Pastor, I'll become a tither. I'm a man. I could die tomorrow. But God's already made you that promise. God's already said, bring the tithe into the storehouse, into the house of God, and prove me in this, says the Lord, if I won't pour you out a blessing that you are not able to contain. If you would trust me, why would you not trust God? God has already made that promise to you. The Apostle Paul, talking to the church at Corinth, said this. He said, but since you excel in everything, he said, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in the love we have kindled in you, he said, also see that you also excel in this grace of giving. He said, be a giver, be generous, don't hoard it, don't hold it all to yourself, learn to be a giver. Number five is this, talking about learning to be an investor. You can't take it with you, but you can send it on ahead. Amen. The book of Matthew, I won't read it for the sake of time today. Book of Matthew, chapter 25, verse 34 through 40, if you want to read it later, talks about that as people stand before God at judgment, that they're going to say to the Lord, that the Lord's going to look at them and say to them, those who are on his right hand, you saw me in prison, you visited me, and you saw me when I was hungry and you fed me, you saw me without clothing and you gave me clothes. He's going to go through this whole list, and those who are there are going to look at him and say, Lord, we didn't see you hungry. We didn't see you poor. We didn't see you naked. We didn't see all this. And the Lord's going to look back at us and say, when you have done it to the least of these, you've done it unto me. Do you know if the Old Testament tells you that if you give money to the poor, that God says, I will give you that exact amount back to you? Think about that for a minute. God has said, look, I want you to understand that everything you do on this earth has eternal consequences. All right? That's what he's saying to us. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, God is saying to us, I want you to be generous with your life. Now, let me say this to you. You can't get generous with your life in the true sense of generosity until you accept the one who was generous with his life. Until I come to the place of receiving Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, because he has come that I could have life in it more abundantly, I'm never going to be able to live that generous life. But when I come to that place of saying, God, I want to make you first priority in my life. I want to invite you in to be my Lord and my Savior. God, I got all kind of stuff that's wrong with me, but I invite you in to be my Lord and my Savior today. Then out of that decision, then I begin to be able to live the overcoming life that Jesus Christ has called me to live. Now, I mean, let me wrap it up. I always want to give you some practical things. So let me give you four things real quick on treasuring what God treasures. How many of you believe if I'll treasure what God treasures, God will take care of me? Amen. Do you believe that? I believe that. I believe that if there are certain things that God's Word says I should treasure, then God's going to take care of me if I do that. So number one is this. Scripture has to be my guide, all right? Scripture has to be, it can't be politicians, it can't be your neighbor, it can't be, no, the Word of God has to be your guide. What does God say about generosity? What does God say about your finances? What does God say about every aspect of your life? And when you come to that place of saying, wait a minute, I want to be led by the Word of God, and as I am led by the Word of God, then I can find myself living that overcoming life that Jesus Christ called me. So first of all, I got to get in the Scripture. Secondly, I need to inventory my time, my talent, and my treasure. Where are you spending your time? What are you doing with the abilities, the talents that God has given you? See, watch this. I know that God has given talents and abilities to everybody I'm talking to today. Why? Because the Bible says you were made in the image of God. You were made in his likeness. And so if you're made in his likeness and his image, then he has given you talents and abilities. My question is, what are you doing with those talents and abilities that he's given to you? Are you using them just for yourself? Are you using them just for your family? Or are you using them to be a blessing to others that are around you? Now listen to me. Listen carefully to what Pastor is saying. I'm not just talking about what you do at church. Do you realize how many things that are good things that go on outside of the house of God that you can be involved in? There are all kind. I mean, there are all kind of things happening out there. There's everything out there from breast cancer awareness to AIDS walk to on and on. All of these things. There are even aspects, and I'm going to mess some of your world up by saying this. There are even aspects out there about getting involved in how we take care of our planet and making sure that we don't just destroy this thing. All of those will take the talents and the ability that God has given you and not only use it so that you can be blessed, but so that others can be blessed. And so God says, what are you doing, not only with your time, but also with your talent? And then lastly, what are you doing with your treasure? What are you doing with your finances? What is it that you're doing? Is it all consumed for what you want? I'm going to tell you, I don't mean to be whatever I'm being right now. I don't mean to be rude or mean. But if all your finances are used for you and your family, you're not a generous person. And I'm not trying to make you angry. I'm just saying to you, if it's all about us, we're not living as generous creatures that God has created. So I've got to learn to inventory that. I've got to look at it. Now, the third thing is this, and this one's kind of interesting, is that you need to pray for the courage to obey. When you inventory that stuff, I promise you, he's going to speak to you about something. Your time, your talent, or your treasure. And he's going to say, what have you been doing with this? And it's going to be that Abraham Isaac moment where God shows up and says, take your son, oh yeah, let me help you, your only son Isaac. Now, in that moment, you got to have the courage to obey. And so as I look at my life, I have to pray. You know, people, we talk about it as pastors, we talk about how that God loves a cheerful giver, right? Pastor, that's one of those favorite offering things. God loves a cheerful giver. I'm going to tell you something. If you've never cried when you've given, you have not given. I mean, there's been times sometimes when I put it in the bucket. George Washington had a headache. Because I squeezed it so tight. Just telling you. There are moments God speaks and says, go over there and bless that person. I say, God, that one? Are you kidding me? Come on, God, this one over here is a good, that one? Lord, I don't like them. Lord, not only do I not like them, they're ugly. And they don't smell good. Come on, I just say what you think. Yeah, God says, go do this. And it's in that moment you have to pray for courage to obey. Lastly, number four is this. I have to be ready to use my possessions as God directs. Everything that God's given me is a tool. A tool for his kingdom, a tool to be a blessing. You and I have been blessed richly. I mentioned it earlier in the sermon, and we do a lot of missions work around the world, and I go into countries and I am blown away in developing nations how they live. Most of you know a little bit about my story that I was born in Africa, but even though I was born there and lived there for a lot of my growing up days, when I go back now, it's just, when I see the poverty, when I see the things that you and I discard and put in our garbage, they build houses out of. And they use them for clothing. And I look at that and I think of America and how blessed we have been. And I thank God, and I'm going to say something to you. I thank God that America has been a generous nation through the years. We have been. We have blessed the world. And don't let anybody tell you otherwise. We have made a difference in the world. But one of the things that I see creeping in is that if we're not careful, we're becoming very stingy. And even as believers, we're not living that generous life with open hands and open arms and saying, God, I have been blessed so much. that if I can be a blessing to somebody else, let me do that. Because I can tell you, every one of us have things in our closets that we haven't worn. I started to say in months, some of us in years. And I know you're going to get back into them. I got it. Styles have changed, baby. Let's keep moving. The whole aspect is this, is that Jesus Christ gave so much. How can I give so little? How can I worry about being a blessing to somebody else? How can I worry about giving out of my abundance? I'm not talking about sacrifice today, because we don't have to sacrifice. 90% plus of us listening to me today, you don't have to sacrifice to be a generous human being. You've been blessed. If anything is going to get the attention of our world, it's when Christians begin to live a generous life. What Christians are known of at this point is our mean-spiritedness and what we're against. What would happen if we became generous, loving people, and that was what we were known for? Well, Pastor, you got to stand for truth. I believe in truth. I believe in righteousness. I believe in holiness. But I also believe Jesus was generous with his time, with people that you and I would be afraid to be seen with, because we would be afraid of what they would be saying about us. Jesus was generous with what he had. He freely gave to others. That is our example. And that is who we're called to emulate upon this earth. And so I challenge you today, in living, in life, let's show the world what Jesus is really like. And let's make a difference in our world. Amen.